Tonight I'm going to speak to you about the subject of that there's treasure in His house. Treasure in His house. Let me start by clarifying, even though we come to church, more appropriately, we are the church. All right. We are the church. We attend on a Sunday, come together, and we come into His house. And His house is not just a building, it's a community. It's the kingdom of God. And there's treasure in His house. And I think it's really important as believers, we understand what treasure is and how it works so we can be a part of what God wants to do. Let's start with the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 21. And Jesus says some classic words here. He says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He doesn't start with where your heart is, there will be your treasure also. No, he says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so you've got to ask the question then, what sort of treasure is he talking about? Have you ever asked yourself, what is my treasure? Let's define treasure. Treasure is something that captivates you. Treasure is something that you invest into. Treasure is something you are prepared to fight for, to live for, die for, to defend at all costs. What treasure is the most important things that we have in our life. Remember the movie Lord of the Rings? There was that weird little creature, Gollum, from New South Wales. And his ring was his treasure, remember? My precious. I mean, you know, that whole thing, man, it was weird. And at the end, he actually dies to try and save his treasure. The treasure is the most important thing in your life. So every now and then you need to stop and say, what is my treasure? Well, what is my treasure? What is this thing that's so important to me that I so am captivated by it that my heart goes towards it? Let's look at some treasure things. Your health should be a treasure. Who you are as a person. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we should look after our bodies. Your relationship with God should be a treasure to you, that you'll defend it at all costs. Your marriage or your family should be your treasure. Important things that are above many other things. Your freedom, your prosperity, the purposes of God in heaven should be a treasure to us. And I suggest that all of those things that I've just mentioned are worthy treasures to the believer. And why they should be treasures is because where your treasure is, there also is your heart. In other words, you'll invest into your treasure. You will put time and energy into your treasure. You'll put money towards your treasure. You'll put excitement and love towards your treasure. So treasure is a really important thing. But as with all treasure, as soon as there is treasure, you will need to defend it. Be assured, since the beginning of time, when somebody has something valuable and important or worth a lot to them, there is somebody trying to steal it. And all treasures, therefore, become a target of the enemy. The enemy's come to steal, to kill and destroy the plan of God and the love of God's life in you and around you. So what I'm saying is this, that as soon as there is treasure, there is pirates. There is all, as soon as you mention the word treasure, you know there's pirates. Arr, my hearties. There's always pirates when treasure is mentioned. And in the natural, there are people trying to steal things of worth and value. But in the spirit, it's the same. And there are spiritual treasure pirates that try and steal. Let me give you an example of one treasure pirate I know so well. It's a pirate called familiarity. The pirate of familiarity. You know, the pirate of familiarity steals? It steals your excitement. It steals away something that was so important to you, but now it's become mundane, ordinary, and sometimes even a little annoying. That you've been married for a number of years now, and that person was the most exciting person in your life, and now they're just ordinary, and sometimes even a little annoying. It's a pirate called familiarity. I get this story of this guy who responds or reacts to his wife's cold symptoms over a number of years. So they first get married and she gets a bit of a cold. And this is the first year. Honey, really worried. That's a bad sniffle you've got. I'll drive you to the doctors and I'll make sure your mum comes and stays overnight. Year two. Listen, darling. Don't like the sound of that cough. I've called the doctor. He's coming straight over. Year three. Maybe you should lie down and get some rest. I'll get you some soup. Year four. Now, hun, be sensible. Make sure you get some rest after you've dropped the kids off and done the ironing. Year five. Sounds bad. The cauldron's in the bathroom. I'll call you later. Year six. Why don't you gargle with something instead of sitting there barking like a seal? Year seven, for Pete's sake, cover your mouth. Would you like me to catch something? In other words, what started as your treasure, something important to you, has now become ordinary, plain, and a little annoying. What has happened is that a pirate treasure has come in called familiarity and stole away your treasure. It's really important that we keep honoring our treasure, keep putting it before our face, our treasure, and seeing that thing as worthy. It happens in church life. The familiarity comes around. We turn up and we go through some things that we know are fairly standard. We go through and all of a sudden it becomes an action, not a reaction to what takes place rather than how exciting. We get to church and we go, oh yeah, doesn't matter if we're a little bit late, no big deal. And what was once the most beautiful thing, the day we found Jesus Christ, the day he saved us and healed us and set us free, and now down the years, year seven, it's become ordinary, sometimes a little annoying, and we start to lose that treasure that was put in. You must learn to defend the treasure God has given you. And that's your relationships with people, with him, and the kingdom of God. We gotta understand there are treasure pirates out there. Familiarity is a treasure pirate. Make sure we don't get normal with it or it becomes average. Like we do communion and it's just, yeah, that sort of thing. And then we welcome new people. Yeah, good new people. Somebody, let's get saved. Yeah, great, somebody getting saved. No, we should get excited every time somebody gets saved. And it shouldn't be just a routine clap. It's like, gosh, somebody's life just got changed. Man, somebody's future's now totally different. And we need to make sure, because whatever our treasure is, there is our excitement. There is our input. There is our energy. There is our giving. Find your treasure's worth over and over and over again. Don't let familiarity steal that which was significant to you to make it mundane, ordinary, or even a little annoying. And one of the big treasures we should always keep in place is God's purposes. I see the purpose of God, the plan of God, as the most significant treasure that I own. You know, some people think their great reward, the Bible speaks about great rewards. Some people think their great rewards is about getting to heaven. No, getting to heaven is not your great reward. That's your end game. Your great reward, listen to this, your great reward is being a part of what God's doing on the earth right here, right now. This great reward. This is our great treasure. Is that we're part of what God's doing in our generation. Not that we make it to heaven. Man, heaven is where dead Christians go. As soon as you're saved, your goal is no longer to get to heaven. That's where you're going to end up. It's the end game. My great reward is being a part of what God's called me to do. Jesus said, pray like this. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth. The plan of the treasure that I have is not about getting to heaven. It's about bringing heaven to earth. And the more of heaven I bring to earth, the more of earth I'm going to see in heaven. That's our great reward. That's our great treasure. I love what Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom. Seek not second, not third, not last. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things that we need are added to us. Seek first. You know what? There are so many people trying to do life and trying to get all these things, not understanding what they need to do first is seek God. Yeah. And in their seeking of God, he will set up a pathway so the things or the life they need will come into play. As a matter of fact, you might be here tonight and you might not be a believer in Jesus yet. You might be trying to do life your own way. You might be able to try to do it on your own steam, with your own strength. It's not going according to plan. I certainly don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what challenges are going to end up in your future, but I do know this. The answer you're going to need will always start and end in the name of Jesus. Maybe we should look at seeking first God. Seeking him first, not just our thoughts, not just the ways out there, but seeking what God has for us and his righteousness. And then the things, the life that we should have had starts to get attracted to who we are. And maybe tonight you could make a decision right here, right now, to say, you know what? I'm gonna start seeking God. I'm gonna seek Him. The Bible is very clear about this. It says, those who believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead shall be saved. Saved out of, but saved into the things that God already had. Seek first His kingdom, and all these things shall be your life, your future, your purpose, your destiny, your healing shall be added to you. I remember the night I made that decision. I remember the night how I decided to seek God and what changed in my heart and my life. It's still the greatest day of my life, the day that I found Him. And because I found Him in church, I found Him in meetings like this, that I've not lost the sense of awe and wonder about every Sunday I turn up here. Every time somebody gets healed, every time somebody gets saved, every time somebody gets set free, my heart jumps, it leaps with joy. Because I do believe that Jesus is the answer to our generation, every generation. Let's go back to Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Seek first, not second, not third. Give this your top priority, the Bible's saying. Make this a high value. Seeking God should be a treasure that the believer has. We're seeking Him. We've got to, if it's your treasure, you will seek it out. And be assured, God hides His treasures. He hides them. Not that they won't be found, but they must be looked for. You don't trip over the plan or the treasure of God. Seek and you will find. The hungry shall be filled. Knock and keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. It's not about glancing at the kingdom of God. It's about seeking the kingdom of God. The kingdom works on the principle of attraction. Seek you first. What we need is added to us. It's attracted to us. This is how the whole God, we're not out there in our workplace and our universities trying to chase people into the kingdom of God. God's plan is not to chase, it's to attract. In other words, we should be living a life that is attractive to other people to find God. We can't be walking around like we're just sucking or sniffing lemon juice all of the time. You know, you've got to actually enjoy this experience of being a believer. It's an attraction principle. It's like we shouldn't be, as believers, chasing money. We should get good at what we do and then money will be attracted to us. That's the plan of God. If you're a young man in the house, don't chase the girls. Attract them. Attract them. Have a shower. I don't care how good looking or rich you are. If you smell, you're done. Attract. That's how the kingdom works, on the principle of attraction. To be captivated by, seek first. Not to glance at it, not to peek at the kingdom, but to seek it, to be captivated by His righteousness, to chase it down yourself. And then all the things that you need to outwork the life that we're in start to be attracted to you. And again, in Psalm 92, it's the same concept from a different angle. 92 verses 13 and 14. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. My whole theme in life is to be fresh and flourishing as I grow older. But it's a promise, the same principle from a different angle. The things that I need, the blessing that God wants for me comes from being planted in the house. Not from popping in every now and then. Not from turning up once every couple of months to an event, but being planted in the house. Connected, roots down, generationally connected. One of the greatest benefits or blessings in my life is to see my kids grow up in the house of God, find their partner in the house of God, and my grandkids are growing up in the house of God. That blessing comes from being planted in the house of God. Not by popping in every now and then, not going to 7 different churches in 4 weeks. I've been planted. I'm in. I'm part of this house. All the houses are good, but I've got to connect to one house. This is how it works, to be planted. You know, and you can't spread your life and energy across a lot of different houses. I get emails and texts from organizations and people all week who need money for great projects, and they're all great projects. But I can't spread myself out at all. I'm not going to be moved by need. I'm going to be moved by what God's telling me to do. If I move by need, I'll never get anything. Jesus was never moved by need. If he was moved by need, he would have never made it to the cross, because there was always a sick person in the next town. There was always somebody who needed his touch, his love, his goodness. But he had to say no to the need. And the Bible says that he'd go away and he'd find out what the Father... He says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. He wasn't moved by the need of humanity. He was moved by what God was saying to him. And in that place, he outworked his mission, his purpose, which was the cross of Calvary. And we've got to make sure that we plant ourselves and not be thrown around in different places, but we see ourselves where... Because at the end of the day, Jesus is only coming back for one thing, and that's his church. That's the only thing he's coming back for, his bride, the Bible calls it. He's in the Bible, it shows him as the groom and us as the bride. And you can't love the groom and hate the bride. You can't say, hey, you're really good looking groom, but your bride, she's really ugly. We've got to be very careful as we understand that the church is the bride of Christ. And she, the bride, is not God, therefore it's not perfect, but it is God's. It does belong to him. So we need to be careful how we set ourselves up in that. Our treasure should be to be planted in the house, because there in that planting, the promise of flourishing and blessing comes towards us. Because we find there's treasure in his house today. There's treasure in his ways today. So quickly this evening, I want us to look at what I've seen as the four levels of Christian experience. And we're all called to all of these levels. So let's have a look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. And each level carries its own treasure, own blessing, and own purpose. Command those that are rich in this present age not to be haughty or arrogant or self-centered, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. All things to enjoy. One, let them do good and they be rich in good works. Two, ready to give. Three, willing to share. Four, what happens? Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. A very prophetic picture of how God wants us to move into the different levels of our Christian experience. Number one, it says God gives us all things to enjoy. So our church life, our believer's life should be something that's not endured, but enjoyed. And if you're not enjoying your church life, let me tell you, you've been raided by pirates, and the pirates have stole that which was important to you at one stage and left you now enduring, not enjoying. Because if church life and being a believer and being part of God's house is your treasure, you will enjoy the experience in God's house. There's not a day, like I said, I've been saved for over 30-something years now. I'm just as excited today than I was back then. I've not lost any of that. I enjoy this. My job is the best job in the world. One day they'll probably pay me, but I don't care. I would still do this with, even if I wasn't. I love what I do. I enjoy, because I see the power in it. Being planted should be enjoyed, not endured. And the more you put value on the kingdom of God, personally, your family and others, the more you will enjoy it. If you put value on your marriage, you will enjoy your marriage, not endure your marriage. If you put honor over your family, you will enjoy your family, not endure your family. It's God's community. It's God's friendship. It's his kingdom. You know what a kingdom is? It's where people do life together. It's the power of the king and the community of the king. That's the church. It's friendships. It's encouragement. It's faith. It's purpose. And sometimes it's just some really funny moments. Who was here last Sunday night? Some funny moments happened. It's just, look, in 2012, I was diagnosed with throat cancer and lung cancer. And a lot of you know the story, but what took place in the first few months was I was going through treatment of radiation and chemotherapy. So I'd go every day for 5 days a week for 6 weeks and get my throat burnt out by a radiation machine. So every day I went, I knew it was going to get a bit worse, and a bit more pain. It was so painful, they had to put a tube in my stomach so I could eat through it, because I couldn't get food down my throat because that evaporated my throat with radiation. That's funny. I'm laughing because I just had remembered something. They put you in this big round machine, all right? It's a radiation machine. So it starts to throw radiation, starts to burn your throat out. And they play music in there to help you just relax. And this one day, Chris, this is what they had on. One day they had on Burning Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. Burning, right? I got out and said, I'm not sure if that's appropriate to help anybody relax. Burning Ring of Fire. Burn, burn, burn. There you go. You know, like, I'd be in a waiting room and I'm talking to people that are going through the same stuff I am. So they've got bandages on their throats from the radiation burns. They can't speak properly. They're same sorts of deals. And I would speak to them. And their story was something like, often their story would be, well, how are you doing? I said, oh, it's been tough. I said, why? Well, I live an hour and a half away. I had to catch a train and a bus to get here. I'm going to be in chemo all day. And then I'm just going to catch a bus and a train home. And I said, well, who's at home? They said, oh, no, I live by myself. So they're going to go home sick, vomiting from radiation and chemotherapy, and they're alone. Here I am thinking, I've got thousands of people praying for me. I've got a church that's believing for my healing and breakthrough, that are looking after my wife and family. I don't have to catch buses. People, my friends, drive me in every day. Be assured, the church is the most powerful thing on the planet. When you're strong or when you're weak, it's the place we need to connect to. Enjoy this beautiful thing called His house. It's a wonderful experience. If you're loving and enjoying your Christian experience, there's a good chance you'll attract others towards it. No church and kingdom purposes are to be enjoyed. They're to be liked. They're to be a part of. And they are loved. You can like them when you see the value and the purpose. They become your treasure. Then the next level is this. Level two, that's why I stutter a bit, because I do lose a saliva gland in that radiation chemo. So I only have a few left. Which means my mouth gets dry sometimes because I don't produce enough saliva. So it's really annoying to eat because it's really slow. And if you give me chicken breast, I'm done. I can't even get it down. And so I do stutter a little bit. I'm not sure if people hear it or not, but I sort of know that I do. My words don't go quite as crisply as they use. Crisply. Chris, I don't even know what the word is. Anyway, as fresh as I used to. So we're called to enjoy our experience. And secondly, the next level is let them do good. Get involved, serve, participate. Be somebody else's answer. God gave us all things to enjoy. Even serving is fun. I cannot believe that people think that serving is a pain and not fun. I find that absolutely, to my mind, ridiculous. From the day I got saved, I love coming to the house of God. I love hearing the word. I love worshiping God, but I needed to do something. From the day my first job was on the door, welcoming people. I love that job. I love that job. Man, I would get up Sunday morning and go, you know what? There's not a person that's going to get past me that's not going to feel better about life. I'm going to make sure they're on fire. When they hit their seats, forget the preaching. They're going to know Jesus before they get there. I'm going to make them feel encouraged that they can walk in there, they have to think about life, they're just going to stick their hands up and worship. That was my Holy Spirit. I love that job. I remember this day, this couple, I could see them, they must have had a fight in the car on the way there. They weren't sort of, you know, a little standoffish, and their kids were all natty and crying and miserable. And I saw them coming, and they got to me, and I started to talk to them and encourage them. And man, they walked away so happy. And that was the pastors. I mean, serving is such the best part of church life. It is the most fun part of church life. So those who rise to the next level, they add to their enjoyment by being involved in God's plans and purposes. If you are bored being a Christian, it's your own fault. Suck it up or get a job. You should not, cannot be bored if you see serving as a joy for the house and the kingdom of God. You can't get bored, and it's fun, it's exciting. Let them do good. Man, we got weekend services, we got youth ministries, we got seniors programs, we got the She Rescue, we got community care, Red Frogs, children's ministries, praise and worship, the tech team, pastoral care, life groups, vision builders, everything. There is a spot for you. Whether it's just being nice on the door or you can use one of those machines at the back there and take us into outer space. There is a spot for you. Jesus never said, go and make spectators of all nations. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. It's going to be fun if he said to do it. Look what Psalm 100 verse 2 says. Serve the Lord with gladness. Just as important as coming before his presence with singing. We enjoy his presence with our singing, but he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Two items here from a different thing, but the same thing is that there should be a sense of willingness and desire and liking that we're serving the kingdom of God. Third level, ready to give. It says, command those who are rich. It doesn't say ask them. It says to command them. So right here and now, under the unction of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, I command you. I command you to give tonight. Oh, no, no, Pastor Mark, it says the rich. So we can use that as our little white. Now, that's just about the rich people. Do you know that if you live in a, by default, if you live in Australia, you have a roof over your head, you have food in your fridge, running water, you are now in the top 20% of the richest people on the planet. It doesn't matter what you earn. Just by being in this country, you're now in the top 20% of the richest people on the planet. And right now, by the word of God, I command you. I command you not to be self-centered. I command you not to trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in God. Riches are not to be our treasure. The kingdom of God is our treasure. Riches are our vehicle to bring the kingdom of God to the earth that we live in. But riches should never be our treasure. Don't trust in use riches, but don't trust in uncertain riches. But let our treasure be king, the kingdom purposes, and riches, what we need will be added. See, you can stand out all night and yell at the sky, but you can get your voice to make a difference, and your voice comes by the power of your giving. Did you know every gift that I give has a voice? It speaks, it makes a difference in somebody's life. When I give into our tithes and offerings, our faith, love, and hope offerings, my money says to the trafficked child, you are loved. My money says to the drug addict, you have a future. My money says to the poor and neglected, we can feed you, we can help you into your future. It says to the lost, you can be found. Our giving has a voice that we don't have to stand back and feel voiceless in the generation that we live in, that we can have a say in how this world looks. Giving gives us a say into our generation. Giving is powerful, influential, and I find it incredibly enjoyable to give. If it's a treasure, you won't endure giving, you'll be excited about giving. If it's not a treasure, then you'll endure it and not do it. You need to get back to the plan of God and start to see that as your treasure. For where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. And the last thing tonight, willing to share. And this is really next level. And I think it's so important and significant. Not in the context of giving financially or being involved, but willing to share the load. In other words, carry the vision of the house. To be carriers of the vision. Not that's that church, that's my church. It's not Pastor Mark's church, this is my church. I'm here, I'm gonna carry the vision, I'm gonna be a pillar in the house. You know what a pillar does? A pillar carries weight. It holds up things and makes sure that everything stays as it should. Back in the Old Testament when they built the temple for God, they called it Solomon's Temple, and it was held up by giant pillars that held the weight of what God was doing. But not only did it hold the weight, every pillar was coated in gold. And as the sun rose every morning from the east, the reflection of the sun hit those gold pillars and the reflection went out across the land and reminded people of the goodness of God. Being a pillar in the house carries the vision of the house and reflects the wonder of God has for the people around us. Jesus illustrates this level using himself as an example. If we'll have a look at John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. See, that's sharing the load. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling, he flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Significant example of the heart of the shepherd towards his sheep. What hirelings are, they are seasonal workers. They come for a season. They'll come while they're being paid and getting what they want, but they'll leave as soon as there's trouble. They'll leave when their needs aren't being met, because they don't really care about the sheep. They just want to make sure they're okay. They're a hireling. Jesus says, don't be a hireling, be a good shepherd, one who cares for the sheep, one that sees the people around them as important enough to put up with not just the good times, but with the bad times as well. When it doesn't go exactly according to our plan, it doesn't go exactly the way we like it to go, because we're not here as hirelings, we're here to share the weight, to carry the responsibility, the care for the people around us, willing to share the load. Hirelings are seasonal. They stay as long as it meets their needs, but when it gets a bit tough or they don't like it anymore, they just leave. Why? Because they're hirelings. They're hirelings. To do what we want to do as a church, to do what we're called to do, to unmistakably influence our world for good and for God as we go from this day on, is not going to happen just because I am so good looking. It's going to take a bunch of people that are willing to share the vision of the house, to commit. We're in. Mightn't go always the way I wanted it to go. Mightn't go the plan I always thought it would go, but I'm in because I care about the people around me. We need people who are willing to share, to speak the vision of the church, going after the dream we have, carrying the weight, caring for the people around them. Level 4 includes all the other levels, and its treasure is ongoing from generation to generation. Seek first, what you need shall be added. Be planted, and you shall flourish. Let's live enjoying what God's called us to do, doing good, making a difference, giving generously, being locked in and committed to the vision, carrying the weight, reflecting God's goodness to the generation that we live in. Let it be said that we did our part to bring in Jesus and hope to the generation that we live in. Let it be said that we did our part. Let it be written in the book of Acts that we did our part of bringing Jesus and hope to our generation.